It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
Years ago, we asked an older gentleman who had faithfully followed Jesus Christ for decades, was he concerned about going before the judgment seat of Christ? His response surprised us. He said, "I'm more concerned about how I come away from it." That was a thought-provoking comment about the reality of the Lord's assessment of our lives, live for Him or not. In the previous podcast, Things You Should Know About the Judgment Seat, we learned a few things about this future event in the lives of followers of Jesus and how they might impact our lives in the present. The judgment seat of Christ is a time when each Christian will be accountable for how he or she lived for Christ. It's not an issue of whether they belong to Christ. Rather, it is whether each will receive reward or loss of reward for what they have lived since becoming a follower of Christ. Let me ask two further questions. One, what are these rewards? And two, what do we do with these rewards? First, among Christians, I've come across two distortions about these rewards. One of these is the idea that getting rewards gives us more prestige before God. Recently, this concept was put to me in a comment written through my website, and I quote the writer when he said, "I have come to understand that even though your works can't on their own take you to heaven, it can help in making you get the choicest place in heaven with VIP treatment," end quote. Now, while I acknowledge that Jesus spoke of preparing dwelling places for his followers, John 14, verses 1 to 3, for example, there's no sense that one is a shack and the other is a mansion of gold. The purpose for these dwellings is that you also may be where I am. The other mistake came to light in a conversation when a pastor stated that he was not interested in a reward or crown. He added that he was not in it for what he could get out of it. After all, what would he do with it? Mount it on a wall or a mantle to collect dust? At first, that comment sounded pretty selfless, but it ignores some important biblical truths. Both these distortions have something in common. They both presume that the rewards are for me, myself, and I. And as we will see, that just is not the case. Now, in the New Testament, there's two words for crowns. One of these is diadema, and the other is stephanos. The diadema is the imperial or royal crown worn by the king. In Revelation 19, verse 12, it is worn rightly by King of Kings, Lord of Lords, our Lord Jesus Christ. The other word is stephanos. This is a crown or wreath awarded for several reasons, including a wreath of victory, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25. In the same way, laurel wreaths were awarded to successful athletes. Another is a festal or celebratory ornament. We read that, for example, in Proverbs 1, verse 9. It could also be awarded for a public honor granted for distinguished service or private worth. By nature, the crowns awarded by Christ are enduring or eternal. This contrasts with the perishable or temporary nature of the rewards offered by everyone else, whether those rewards are accomplished as medals won in the Olympics, or degrees awarded by universities, or attainments earned anywhere else. What are these crowns that will be awarded by Christ to his people? Here, there are no fewer than five of these crowns, these stephanos, mentioned in the New Testament as rewards for Christians in their life and faithful service. You will want to read the context for each of the following to get a better understanding of the reasons they were awarded. First, in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul puts himself forward as an example for the Christians at Corinth. In verses 24 to 27, he introduces the metaphor from the world of athletics. Here's what he says at verse 25. "Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it for a crown that will last forever." The athlete's life is one of discipline and sacrifice with a single aim. For Paul, that aim is the glory of God and the blessing of his people. Everything he does is for that purpose. Let me ask, What is your purpose in life? Does it take hold of you to the extent you are focused intensely and sacrificially on the glory of God and the blessing of His people? There's a second crown that we can read about in 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 19, and Philippians 4, verse 1. Here's what we read. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when He comes? Is it not you? One way of understanding this text is that these men and women who had come to Christ through Paul's service were His joy, perhaps in the present, and will somehow be His crown in the future. Perhaps they are His joy and crown both now and always. Paul had taken the gospel of Jesus Christ to the cities of Thessalonica and Philippi, and many had become followers of Jesus. His love for winning souls to Christ was something for which he anticipated a crown of some kind before the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. What an encouragement to those who delight to tell the gospel and win souls for Christ. A third crown appears that the longing for the future appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ not only has a purifying effect upon how you live, 1 John 3, verses 2 to 3, but also has the promise of being rewarded. Here's what Paul writes in 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing. Do you look forward to, even yearn for, the return and physical presence of the Lord Jesus? Fourth, what of these hardships, trials, even martyrdom endured by the followers of Jesus? Here is what James writes for those who remain faithful through trials. James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man or the woman who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. John also records the words of Jesus Christ spoken in Revelation 2, verse 10. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. I have learned recently of a young woman who is being held prisoner by the Boko Haram in West Africa. She could be released if she converts to Islam, but she remains faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ in her captivity. Many have suffered and died alone for the sake of Jesus Christ. Our God sees and remembers the suffering of His people, and He promises a crown of life. And fifth, what of those who care for Christ's people willingly, diligently, and sacrificially? They serve not out of a sense of duty. They're not greedy for money or a desire to control. They're examples to the flock. Peter continues in 1 Peter 5, verse 4, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. More churches need to be led by godly people like this. What to do with your crown? If you receive one or more of these crowns, whatever form they take, you will do something exceedingly important with those crowns. If you do not have any crowns, I suspect you might be mightily embarrassed. Let's get a glimpse of the throne room of heaven in a future day. Take a few moments to read Revelation chapters 4 and 5. Following several Bible scholars, I propose that the 24 elders we read about there represent the followers of Jesus. If you are a Christian, you will be there. Note their intimate knowledge of the Lord Jesus, their closeness to Him, and the way they worship. These crowns represent all that is valuable to God in your life as a Christian. What do we do with these crowns? Again, the crown is not for me, myself, and I. It is all for Him. Listen to Revelation 4, verses 10 to 11. They lay or cast their crowns before the throne and say, You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being. On that day, I hope, I will be able to lay at least one crown at the feet of my Lord Jesus Christ to say thank you, to say I worship you and praise you for all that you have done. What about you?
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. MacDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at hopestreamradio.com.